Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Had a great time. I was so happy. Let me tell you, for the first time, we went to Keswick 3 times now. And for the first time, I said to myself, you know what, John? I bet you'd like to come here for 2 weeks next time, wouldn't you? And I said to myself, yes, I would. So I'm just wondering if my dear darling wife will let me come for 2 weeks another time, because it's so good. We had a wonderful time. And maybe as it grows upon me, she might let me go there for 3 weeks. You know what? These stewards and servants that work there, I think they're people that got the idea, they enjoy it so much, that they also felt the same way. They just wanted to be there for 3 weeks.
Free food, free accommodation.
And Bob, there's people doing it, they're your age and they're doing it. You know the servants, you didn't come that often. You didn't see them. But you can...
The volunteers.
They're there serving, and I can see they just do it because they love being there.
We met Bob McKee.
George Mitchell. Bob McKee, yeah. We met this chappie. We were walking through the town, and there was this man with a microphone. And this chap was busking. And he was singing love songs.
About helping the children from other countries. A Christian organization.
He put buckets out. And he was busking, collecting money. I don't know if he's that old. Yeah. Right, sorry, Bob. But he's not as old, quite as old. But he was old. And he was singing love songs. And I said, I just loved it. And I noticed by looking at his literature, he is a Christian man. And we saw him as a volunteer serving.
You can't see him because of the mask.
Yeah.
I said you're the one who's basking. Yeah. You're on my video. And I showed you my video. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The bookman was there.
The who?
The bookman. You know, the one that always promotes the book.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Jonathan Carswell.
And you wouldn't miss that one. Yeah. And you wouldn't believe we met his dad.
One day.
This is the thing that people miss.
Yeah.
We
walked through the town and we went to, there's like a Methodist church. And in the Methodist hall, they have a big second-hand bookshop. And Roger Carswell is Jonathan's father. And he was in there taking details from various people. I had to pay him. You pay him for the books. Anyway, he sat me down. He said, who are you? I said, I'm John. I'm John Gilbert. He said, what do you do, John? I said, I pastor a church. And he was looking at my tattoos, so to speak, you know. I said to him, this is Jonathan's father, a lovely chap. I said, I used to be a tattooist, Roger. Very, very, like Jonathan, very open. And he said, did you? And he listened to me. I told him, I said, I got saved, I stopped tattooing. He took my email and he said, would you like to share your testimony online so that other people can see it on YouTube? I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So he's supposed to organise that and he's asking me. But he couldn't stop speaking. He is an evangelist. He writes tracts. He writes books. This is it. This is brilliant. Dom, I'm going to get a lot of these. This is called The Thinker. And it's written by Roger Carswell. And it's one of the best tracks I've ever come across. And as you start to read it, it's not what you think. Because you see this sculpture. It's a sculpture of a man sitting down, and the man is thinking. And you think, oh, it's a lovely sculpture like a Michelangelo. You know, the David in London or in Rome. They've got a copy in the Victorian Albert Museum. You think it's just a work of art. But it's more to it than a work of art. Do you know what it's about? The thinker is a man. It's the soul of a man who's gone to hell. And because he's in hell, he don't like being there, does he? So he's thinking about his predicament. See what I'm saying? Very clever. And funny enough, the man who, I don't remember the name of the man who, his name was, it was a French sculptor called Auguste Rodin. And he wasn't a Christian, but he often thought of eternity. And it made him contemplate what eternity would be to someone who didn't know God. So I hope to get one of these for everyone so you can read it and you can think how someone in hell would think. And maybe you can pass it on to somebody. And that takes me to my next story. Because my next story, Mayette and Dominic and I, we left the convention and we were sort of, well, me and Dominic didn't want to rush home, did we, Dom? We wanted to drag our heels, didn't we, Dom? And we went to Windermere. Well, Windermere is an hour away from the cottage where we stayed, the farmhouse. And we got there and Mayette was saying, come on, don't you think we ought to get home and press on? We were dragging our heels. We didn't want to go home. And we drove about 30 miles and we pulled up at Windermere Lake. I got out the car and I got this and I looked round. It was George Mitchell's friend Alex, and George Mitchell and his wife called Jean. Now, we made friends with them at the convention and they're a lovely couple. George Mitchell's 82 years of age. 83. He just had a new valve put in his heart. And there he was at the convention, he walking like that. He was walking like that wherever he went because he's fragile. Because he got a new valve in his heart. And I saw him getting a cup of tea. I said, all right, mate. Hey, Jimmy, yeah. Because he's from Scotland, Glasgow. And he said, you know anything about Tottenham Hotspur? I said, I know a little bit about them. I like Arsenal, actually. But we got talking, right? We got talking, and I liked him straight away. Well, there he was. This is George Mitchell, an 82, 83-year-old man, recovering from this new heart valve. He got two cups of cocoa. He got a sweet tooth. He had them full up with marshmallows. You know you put marshmallows in them. And there he was walking to the table. He dropped one of them straight down him. And he had it all down him. And I was sitting down with Mayette and I saw him and I thought, oh, that poor old boy. You know, and I went up to him. I said, you all right? It was all over. He didn't know what to do. So I just sort of looked around and I went to the canteen and I got some rag or tissue and I was washing him down because he just didn't know what to do. There was cream. And I went to the counter and I said, excuse me. I said, he's just spent money on two cups of cocoa. I said, he's dropped them on the floor. I said, you couldn't give it to another two. Oh, yeah, all right, all right. And he was happy. His wife was happy. We become best friends. Can you believe it? I am his best friend. And you know, when I He opened his little briefcase, had a briefcase, didn't he, Mayette?
Yeah, 1980s.
He took a book out and he gave me a book. It's got The Khaki Man and the Clergyman. He wrote a book about his brother. His brother was in the army, Bob. Very interesting character. And his brother served in the war. He was put in a concentration camp in Czechoslovakia. Fascinating story. And I'll tell you more about it in weeks to come. But George said to me, come back and I'll see you again in the Bible study or in the canteen the following day. I went back the next day. He gave me another book. And it was Bible devotions for the whole year. Scripture for every day of the week, right? And I looked at it and it had George Mitchell. I thought, this bloke's quite... He's an author. Not only... He's a scholar. He spent years as a teacher up in Scotland. He spent years as a pastor travelling round churches, pastoring various churches. He went to the London Bible School. I opened the book. I discovered he was a professor in theology. And there he was, this old boy. I became his friend. I was really touched, very touched. He gave little Elizabeth a fiver. Very, very good man. He's a very good man. And the more Dominic and I got to know him, and he had a friend with him called Alex. Now, Alex was an evangelist, isn't he? And we're hoping to get to know them more. This is another old boy. And Alex had gout, didn't he? And anyway, he hired a car, Alex, in Glasgow, and drove them from Glasgow down to the conference. And there they were at every meeting. And I just wanted to go sit with them and spend time with them. And
they can't even walk properly.
I'm going to say I've been humbled. For some reason, we watch people. I saw a lot of people in scooters like Dave's got. They're going to the conference. I saw an old lady, she's about 95. Her hair was beautiful. It's like she went to the hairdressers every day. Every day. And I looked at her shoes were perfect. And she had one of them Zimmers like Janet has. And there she was. Every day I saw her. I was humbled. Guess what else I saw? We went to the, there's a shopping centre called Boots. You know the supermarket? You know the one? We were going there one day, Friday afternoon, Dominic and Mayette. After the convention was closing now. And there was this blind lady with her guide dog. And there was her husband, Garrett. He's a Welshman. Born in Wales, lived... White stick, long one. Two blind bats! Now, I know what blind people are like because my brother Mark's blind. Now, blind people can't see you, so they can't say hello to you. You walk past them, they just feel the breeze. But they can't see you. They can't say, hello, mate. You understand me? So I know that. And I saw them there, and they had the dog, and I said, hello. Dominic said hello to everyone in Keswick. Everyone got to know Dominic. But I'm a bit like that with certain people. And I saw them and it touched my heart. So I said, hello, what's your dog's name? And she said, Joan. And I said, hello, Joan. And she was like that, looked straight up. And we had a chat with them, didn't we, Mayette? Hey, Dom. They humbled me. Bob, they humbled me. They were at the bus stop. I said, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Warrington. Warrington? I've heard of Warrington before. That's somewhere down near Liverpool, isn't it? Or Manchester. And it is. It's between Manchester and Liverpool. I said, have you been to the convention? Oh, yeah, we've been to all the meetings and that. And I said, you're getting on a bus? Yeah, we're going to... Where's the Parryvale? Penrith. We're going to change on the bus there. We're going to get the bus down to Warrington. Come on. This dog's not got a built-in GPS. It's not got a sat-nav. You don't say to the dog, now I'm just setting the sat-nav. We're going to go back to Warrington, yeah, dog? You take us. Don't do that. The dog only goes where you tell it to go. All right? It stops you walking into a lamppost or into another person, but it doesn't know where the house is. When we drove home yesterday, I realised Warrington's 110 miles from Keswick. How does a blind lady and a blind man work out how to travel 100 miles just to get to a Christian convention?
And they go there every single day.
Doesn't that humble you?
Yeah.
And I said to Mayette, these people are living by faith. They're exercising their faith to go somewhere. That's what that shows me. They travelled 100 miles. That's just one way. They've got to get back home at the end of the week. But they told us they go there and they love it. When they stay in a B&B, you know. They're booked up next year. Isn't that incredible, people? It blesses me, and I'm just so happy that I got to know them. You know, God works in mysterious ways. We didn't want to go home in a hurry, and God blessed us. He blessed the world. I said to Dominic, Dom and Mayette, I said, how comes we left the cottage, we drove an hour, parked up after 30 miles, got out the car, we meet George and his wife again. It's like the Lord allowed that to happen. We never said goodbye to them at the convention, but we were able to say goodbye to them at Windermere, you know. We got in the car, we got on the road, we drove down the motorway, M6, and then we got out after a couple of hours and we had a McDonald's, didn't we, Dom? And we went to this service station, and there's this chap with his dog, and the dog's an unusual dog. And Mayette said, oh, what sort of dog's that? He said, it's a Chinese dog. And he was an Asian-looking chap. He looked like Kamal. You know what Kamal looks like, right? And he kind of looked like Kamal. And we got talking to him, very pleasant, talking about the dog, and he called Mayette darling. I said, not many men call my wife darling. You know, anyway, he had a bit of a joke about it. And I got in the car, and I said to myself, I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord was showing me, give that man a tract. And I had another one of these, and I thought, if that bloke doesn't know the Lord, and I drive away from here, and the Lord knows I've got this tract, shame on me. Shame on me. So I thought, you know what? Because I don't want to lose this. Because it's so good. I thought, I've got to give it to him. So I got out, I picked it up, I went over to him. I said, oi, mate. And he's from London, this chap. He went to Manchester. I said, we... Yeah. Yeah, a bit down. So I said, we just been to a Christian conference, right? I said, we're Christians, right? I said, and I picked this up. I want you to have it. And he looked at me. He said, you Christians? I said, yeah, we are, right? And he was amazed. He said, I want you to know something about me. He said, I swallowed a Bible. And I was trying to understand what that means, right? How'd you swallow the Bible, Bob? He said he swallowed one. So what he meant was that at some point in his life, he was an Asian boy from a Hindu background. He knew everything about Hinduism. But he got hold of a Bible because he went to a Christian school. Didn't he, Mayette? He told us. And somehow he started to understand there was real God and there was Jesus. And when he realised that, he started reading the Bible. And he believed what he was reading. And do you know, I read Psalm 91 earlier on. Do you know what he did?
He said, "You listen to me."
He got on his knees. And he just said, he prayed for us. Dominic was a bit worn out because of his overactivity. And he was tired because I know Dom would have wanted to get involved. But this man, his name was Ash, he started praying for us. And as he prayed, he started the Psalm 91. The whole psalm came out of his mouth. It was in his prayer. And I was amazed. And I was thinking, Lord, you want us to meet people. You want us to share the word of God. You want us to interact with people. Even though we've left Keswick, even though we've left the Bible convention, the Lord wanted us to continue in the spirit of Keswick and the Bible convention. He didn't want us to go. Lord, even though we were coming home, the Lord wanted us to continue in that spirit of Christianity. It was just great. And so I got his phone number, and he lives in London. But he himself, Ash, felt a release that he met us, because he seemed a bit troubled about something, and that's why he left London to go to Manchester and spend a month there with his dog and see his family. He got family up there. But I just wanted to share that with you, because the Lord wants us to step out of the boat, whatever that might mean for you or me. It might mean the Lord challenges you to talk to someone else who you don't know, whether it's just a old blind couple or whether it's an Asian chappie at a service station. He was in awe, really, wasn't he, Mayer, of myself. He said, "Why did you talk to me?" Yeah, he said, "Why did you open up to me? I could have been a Muslim and sort of blow you up or something, you know." But anyway, God wants us to be missionaries. And that's part of what Keswick is about. The spirit of Keswick is that Christians learn what they can and share it with other people. And share it abroad, whether you're on a boat, on a bus, in the street, wherever. Lord wants us to share these things. Yeah.
And as I said, when we saw people, how vulnerable they were, they're not scared, but they're not even shy away.
Yeah.
If they're going to die or what? But there you go. It's up to individual whether to walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
You know, it's been a humbling week. I met George Mitchell. You know, on the way back, Dominic discovered that George Mitchell was the pastor and lecturer of a very renowned man called Nick Needham. And Nick Needham is from a Reformed church in Inverness, Scotland. He's the pastor. And in the bookshop up at the convention, I saw these commentaries. They were five volumes on church history. They were £12 each volume, so that's like 5, 12, 60 quid. I think there were four or five. Anyway, Nick Needham is the author. He's the author of these books. And I've seen him at the School of Theology in London, lecturing. And then Dominic told me, Johnny said, did you know Nick Needham was one of his students? I'm humbled to meet an old man who is a warrior in Christ, who's done the business, you know what I mean, and still doing it at his age. And we went to the bookshop, in the up the second-hand one, and Dom said, "John, do you know Donald Guthrie?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I don't know him personally, but this man, Donald Guthrie, was the vice principal of the London Bible School." He said, "George even knows Donald Guthrie." So I'm humbled. I keep using this word humble because you make friends with somebody, but you don't know who you're making friends with. You understand me? You know, you make friends with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're making friends with someone who can teach you anything and everything. Do you understand me? Yes.
You can be out of your depth.
Yes. I know.
So I think that people think I'm a demonic. I accept that. Okay, fair enough. Kevin loses me. Kevin, my son, loses me.
Yeah.
But he's trained my other son.
You're not alone, Bob. He loses me as well. I'm just joking, Bob. I understand that, Bob, and that's fair. But it's nice when someone very academic will bow down to be your friend and teach you things you don't know. And I am a bit of a bookworm, not that I read everything. But I went to the bookshop with Dominic and Mayette at the church, the old church where Roger Carr's, and I got the whole life's works of Donald Guthrie for £2. £2. Not only that, I've got a book of John Wesley, 53 sermons, John Wesley. I paid about £2.50 for it. Now I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I've got 53 sermons of how John Wesley thought, how he thought. Because when you preach a sermon, you pick up how a man thinks, what he believes, how he teaches, his concept on salvation. I'm a blessed man. We had a wonderful time, and I look forward to next year, to seeing maybe George again and Jean, and maybe going to Scotland to visit them, and maybe seeing the blind people and seeing Ash. But it was great. There is more I'd like to say, and I won't, because we can save that for another day. And I wrote down some of the things that we learned about the firstborn that died by the destroying angel, and that the Lord Jesus also is the firstborn. There's so much I want to say, but we'll save it for another day. Lord, thank you for the week we've had. Thank you for the Keswick Convention and all the people that make it happen. Thank you so much for those people that serve, all the stewards, or that Bobby chap, Lord, and the leaders, and the worship the band, Lord. We thank you. And even that Diana, who put on our accommodation. We thank you for those people that made it possible for us. And I do pray for next year, as we think about it, that you would lead us on, Lord, and show us the way forward. We do pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll leave it there. All right, Dom.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.